Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? There is not a quorum present to conduct business. Representative Sun, would you excuse those people from the call of the House, and then we'll...
Speaker, I would note that excuse there, Representative Adams, Donnelly, Gruenberg, Copeland, Menard, Petty, John, Phillips, Zawacki. Also move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Ellis and Hanley be excused from the call today. Representative Collins and Springer after 4 o'clock.
Any objections? Hearing no objections, those individuals listed by the Majority Leader are excused from the call of the House. Representative Herman is now present. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Reverend James West. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Heavenly Father, we come to you today in faith and love because we are a needy people. We confess that we don't always have the answer for every problem in our lives, so we must look to you. We look to your divine guidance. We pray today for these elected officials. They often face difficult problems, and we have confidence that they will do what is right. But we know what they need and they want is your power to enact legislation for the good of all Alaskans. We thank you for every person here in these chambers. And we are especially thankful for the privilege of praying for a special young woman from Juneau who is representing the United States before the world in the Calgary Winter Olympic Games. We pray for this outstanding skier, Miss Hillary Lind. We thank you for her exceptional skills, her intense work ethic, and the God-given abilities that have brought her to this apex of sport achievement. These are gifts you have given to her, and we are very grateful. We thank you for her and for her success as she represents our country. We would ask that she be able to do the very best that she can do and be protected from any injury. And what we pray for her, we pray for all of us. Just help us, Lord, to do our very best in our assignments, and we will give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Representative Cato, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House approve the journals for the 38th and 39th legislative day as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Okay. Would the Chief Clerk read those, please?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 38th and 39th days.
Are there any objection as to the correctness of the journals for the 38th and the 39th legislative day plus the supplement? Hearing no objections, the journals and supplements stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Frank.
Here, thank you. In Gallery B, we have Doug Bruce down from Fairbanks. He's the president of the Alaska Foreign Language Association.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We also have in Gallery B a friend of mine and a teacher, social studies teacher, I'd like you to welcome Gail Thurman.
Yes. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also, today I'm pleased to welcome another group of elder hostels that are visiting us in Juneau. In Gallery A, we have a number of people, again, from all across the country. They're senior citizens, and they'll be visiting the state. They're traveling on the ferry, and we'd like to welcome them. Also, I believe in the gallery is Sally Smith, who is working with the group. Would you all like to stand, and we'll welcome you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in Gallery B, I have one of my old university professors. Actually, I shouldn't say one of my old university professors. Monica Thomas is the director for the Alaska Council on for Economic Education, in addition to her normal duties as a economics professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Please welcome her in Gary B. Also, Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B is another Fairbanks, and Tom Wells. He's the president of the Alaska Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance. Gallery B.
Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I also have a friend and colleague in the audience today. Jerry Myers is president of the Alaska Association for Computers, Computer and Education, and a real advocate for education from the city of Skagway.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a friend, a constituent, down from Fairbanks. She's the public affairs person for the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District, Linda Sather.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I have a friend from Anchorage, Ann Newell, who's an officer with the Anchorage Police Department.
Any further guests for introduction? Yes, Reverend.
I have a guest in Gallery A. She's a legislative assistant and works for one of the senators. She's part of my congregation, and I'd like to see Kim Hansen.
Messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, on this date I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for House Bill 7, Finance, relating to the Office of Public Advocacy and Volunteer Guardians ad litem, Chapter Number 5, SLA 1988. Signed sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, in compliance with AS 2422-51B, the Senate has confirmed Randy Welker as legislative auditor. The Senate has approved the following citation, and it is transmitted for consideration, honoring vocational technical training and private sector partnerships for Alaska Hire. And the Senate also approved the following, and they are transmitted for consideration, honoring Andres Aquino Cadiente, honoring Wallace M. Turner, honoring Martina Shera, honoring Alvin Bramstead, and honoring Port Lyons High School girls basketball team, the Kings. And these also were approved and sent to enrolling. Honoring the Kowak High School women's basketball team, and honoring Linda Adams, and in memoriam, Agnes Canuck.
Those citations for our consideration will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate passed and returned House Concurrent Resolution 35, commending the Alaska Marine Highway System for 25 years of service. And Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 38, Resources, requesting the Pacific Salmon Commission to increase Alaska's Chinook salmon quota, and these have been sent to enrolling. The Senate has failed to concur in the House Amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 94, Resources Amended. namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 94, Resources Amended House, adopting a mineral policy for the state, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendment. In the event the House does not recede, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House: Senator Coghill, Chairman, Senator Jones, and Senator Fahrenkamp.
Limbo file.
The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration, and it's passed with a Senate letter of intent. Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 55, financed by the Finance Committee, relating to establishing a United States Navy home port in Alaska.
One standing committee, Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution 64, by Zaroff, relating to resident hire on United States Department of Defense projects at Amchitka Island, Shemya Island, and Adak.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 32, Hess, by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to marijuana and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 282, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to municipal sales and use taxes and providing for an effective date.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're about to refer committees, standing committees, to, and that'll be CRA and Judiciary. Continue, please.
Senate Bill 379, effective date added, by Binkley, Kurtula, Zaroff, Josephson, Sturgiluski, Hensley, Rohde, Fakes, Jones, Kelly, and Duncan. An act providing for the establishment of the Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies within the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services, and the Finance Committee.
Senate Bill 380, title amended, by Binkley and Kurtula. An act making a special appropriation to the University of Alaska Anchorage for the establishment of the Institute for Circumpolar Health Studies and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services, Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 40, designating a year of friendship with Finland, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Elmer, Chairman, concurring Elmer, Hoffman, Donnelly, Martin, and Davidson. House Concurrent Resolution Number 40 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 48, an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to income from the Permanent Fund, reports it back as follows with a fiscal note. Report was signed by Elmer, Chairman, signing due pass, Elmer, signing no recommendation, Hoffman, Donnelly, and Davidson. Martin signed no recommendation, no meaningful work was done on bill. House Joint Resolution Number 48 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Transportation Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 52, opposing reductions in the budget of the United States Coast Guard, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Cato, Chairman, concurring Miller, Pierce, Springer, Hudson, and Cato. House Joint Resolution Number 52 appears on today's calendar. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 237, relating to murder, assault, and the physical and sexual abuse of children, the admissibility of certain evidence in criminal prosecutions, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 237, Judiciary, with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. The report was signed by Sund, Chairman, concurring Sund, Ulmer, Grunberg, Barnes, Navarre, and Cotton. Taylor has no recommendation. House Bill 237, has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 261, relating to ignition interlock devices and establishing a Class C misdemeanor, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 261, Judiciary, with a new title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Sun, Chairman, signing do pass, Sun, Cotton, Grunberg, Ulmer, and Barnes. House Bill 261 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 282, Smoke Detection Devices. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 282 Hess with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. Report was signed by the co-chairs, Ellis and Kopanen. Concurring, Ellis, Hanley, Phillips, Kopanen, Hudson, Grunberg, and Donnelly. House Bill 282 has no further referral. Excuse me, do you think you could read them on this? They're just going to get
an ease, I read.
Okay. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 297, an act relating to the notification to community councils and postmasters of certain state actions. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 297 Finance, new title. Okay. Attaches one fiscal note and a zero fiscal note. Signing, recommending do pass. Adams, Chairman, Porchot, Larson, Gall, Swackhammer, Boyer, Frank, Brown. Having no recommendation, Rieger and Davis. Rieger signed, good bill may need an amendment. HB 297 has no further recommendation. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 342, an act relating to medical assistance for needy persons. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 342, Finance, the new title. Do I read the new title?
No.
Okay. It attaches, or it recommends that the committee adopt the Health, Education, and Social Services Letter of Intent. Recommending do pass, Porchot, Vice Chairman, Gall, Davis, Larson, Swackhammer, Boyer, Frank, Brown, and Rieger. HB 342 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 384, an act relating to unemployment insurance and providing for an effective date. Attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. Recommending do pass, Donnelly, Chairman, Davidson, Boucher, Kopanen, Ellis. Having no recommendation, Furness and Menard. HB 384 was referred to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 409. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 409 Hess with the new title. It attaches a fiscal note, zero fiscal note, and recommending do pass, Ellis, Kopanen, co-chairs, Phillips, Grunberg, and Donnelly. Having no recommendation, Hanley and Hudson. HB 409 was referred to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 424, an act relating to the State Board of Education. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 424 Hess with the same title. It attaches a zero fiscal note. Recommending do pass, Ellis and Kopanen, co-chairs, Hanley, Phillips, and Hudson. Having no recommendation, Grunberg and Donnelly. HB 424 was referred to the Finance Committee. The Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 437. An act relating to naming the Robert J. Mitchell Expressway. Attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass, Cato, Chairman, Miller, Pierce, Springer, Hudson, and Boucher. HB 437 has no further referral.
That bill has picked up a fiscal note and thus will be referred to the Finance Committee.
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 445, an act relating to the applicability of Chapter 77 SLA 1987 relating to mandatory and discretionary parole and residual probation and providing for an effective date. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 445 Judiciary with the same title. Attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do pass, Sun, Chairman, Cotton, Taylor, and Ulmer. HB 445 has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 54, expressing support for the Alaska Airlines application for approval to fly to Siberia.
recommending DuPass, Cato, Chairman, Miller, Pierce, Springer, and Hudson. SJR 54 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 55 resources, an act establishing the Minto Flats State Game Refuge and providing for an effective date. They endorsed the House resource letter of intent, attach a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending DuPass, Adams, Chairman, Porchot, Larson, Gall, Swackhammer, Rieger, Wallace, Brown, and Davis. CSSB 55 resources has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 79, Judiciary Amended, an act relating to runaway and missing minors. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 79, Hess, with the same title. Attaches a zero fiscal note recommending DuPass, Ellis, and Copen and co-chairs Hudson, Gruenberg, Donnelly, Phillips, and Hanley. Oh, and CSSB 79 Judiciary AM was referred to the Judiciary Committee.
We have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
We have none, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know if it's appropriate to do it this time, but there was a mistake in the readings on that, and I would like to call on at ease, and I'll correct it.
Okay, would the House stand at ease? Will the House come to order? Before the at ease, we're under special committee reports, of which there were none. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the body's permission, I'd like to return to introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Copeland has a constituent in Gallery B, and I'd like to, for the body to welcome Dan Hilde, who's down from Fairbanks.
Honor introduction of guests, Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hanley and I have a constituent in town today, and I'm not sure whether or not they're in the gallery at the moment, but Jean Lamb, who's the past president of the Alaska Art Education Association.
Representative Cotton, you've been seeking the floor, and then...
In Juneau with the Cabinet of Professional Associations, and we have with us today Betty Wick, who is the president of the Society for General Music. Sykes is here, who is the president of the Alaska Council of Teachers of Math. Well,
Representative Boucher.
Representative Collins and I have a constituent from the same group. I'm Nancy Buell, president-elect of the Alaska Chapter of Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Swackhammer and I have a guest in Gallery B from the Kenai Peninsula. She's the president of the Alaska Association for Bilingual Education, a friend of mine, Alice Taft.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Ulmer and I have four guests in Gallery B. Mr. Armand Seguin, past president of the Alaska State Vocational Association, if they would rise, and Beth Bellflower, the Alaska Association of School Librarians, Jamie McLean, educator and director of the Perseverance Theater, and Marjorie Gorsuch, a curriculum specialist with the Department of Education. I'd like to have you welcome them today, please.
Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Martin and I also have a constituent in Gallery B who's with the Cabinet of Professional Associations. H. Dave Slider, who's the curriculum chairperson for the Alaska Arts and Education.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a past member of Minority Women into the Sciences, It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Tom Sheets. He's president of the Alaska Science Teachers Association, and he's here from McGrath. Would you please help me welcome him?
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Down from the valley where the sun always shines, we have the president-elect of the Alaska National Resource and Outdoor Education, Linda Feeney.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since Representative Donnelly and Grunberger are both not here, we also have Tricia Herminghouse, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Chair of the Northwest Association of Marine Educators.
Last call for guests for introduction. This brings us back down the calendar to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Homer High School Mariners girls basketball team 1988 Region 3 champions by Representatives Navarre and Swackhammer. Citation honoring Homer High School Mariners boys basketball team 1988 Region 3 champions by Representatives Navarre and Swackhammer. Citation honoring Tom Baudette by Representatives Navarre and Swackhammer. Citation honoring Alaska International Wrestling Club by Representatives Collins, Rieger, Miller, Donnelly, Porchot, Menard, Larson, Zawacki, Senators Fahrenkamp, Halford, and Fakes. Citation honoring Tok High School Women's Basketball Team, State AA Basketball Champions by Representative Schultz and Senator Coghill. Citation in memoriam Ralph G. Yetka by Representative Taylor. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Citations will be referred to rules for calendaring. Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
I have no bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Bill 244 by Navarre and Swackhammer, an act relating to the addition of land to Kachemak Bay State Park and Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 244 Resources with the same title, reports it back as follows with a fiscal note. The report was signed by Cotton Chairman, signing DuPass, Cotton, Navarre, and Davidson, having no recommendation, Pierce, Schultz, and Springer. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute and DuPass. The report was signed by Pat Porchot, Vice Chair, concurring, Davis, Swackhammer, Gall, Larson, and Porchot, having no recommendation, Wallace, Frank, Rieger, and Boyer. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 244, second resources with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Cotton, co-chair, concurring Cotton, Navarre, Sund, Pierce, Herman, Schultz, and Davidson. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having two committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent the House adopt the second Resource Committee substitute for House Bill 244 in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the second committee substitute resources? Hearing no objection, the CS second resources has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing none, would the clerk please give it its third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 244, second resources by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the addition of land to Kachemak Bay State Park and Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill came about at the request of a group of my constituents, Kachemak Bay State Park Advisory Committee. It's supported by both the borough in Kenai and the city of Homer. And I want to address, first of all, in the bill, the Nuka Islands addition. It's next to the Kenai Fjords National Park, and for a long time, it was thought to be in Kenai Fjords National Park. In fact, in Alaska Magazine, February 88 issue, they have the national park story on the national park down there, and outlined here it has Nuka Island included in it. And the congressional record, it was identified for inclusion into the Kenai Fjords National Park. The problem was that it's state lands, and as a result, it can't be put in a federal park. There was a Nuka Island management plan, an uplands plan designed by the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. This land was recommended as highest and best use to be included in Ketchmack Bay State Park, and that is accomplished in this bill. In addition, there's a couple of other areas that were requested, and I have distributed a packet that has justification for all the inclusion of the different parcels into the park, and it identifies the different areas. Cottonwood and Eastland Creek are on the Homer side of Ketchmack Bay, and it's some land, it's the only land available down there for development as a park property. And during the summer months, the Ketchmack Bay area is a tremendous recreational area, and they get inundated with tourists both from in Alaska and from outside of Alaska, and there's they're packed, and there's just no room really to put them in. There's a real need for development down there to accommodate them, and that's a growing industry in this state, Mr. Speaker, and certainly we should be receptive to something that's going to help that area of the economy, the tourist activity. Aurora Lagoon has been identified for a number of years by both the Ketchmack Bay State Park Advisory Board and a number of others for inclusion into the state park. It was kind of left out when the park was first developed back in 72 or 73. I'm not sure exactly when. And that was originally proposed to be part of the university land settlement last year, as was portions of Nuka Island. Subsequently, when they came up with the settlement, a couple of parcels in Nuka Island are reserved for the university, and Aurora Lagoon was left out. The public response down there to possibly turning that over to the university was just incredibly negative, and the university receded from its request that be part of the settlement. The DNR and Fish and Game both support the additions to the Ketchmack Bay State Park, and as does the university, since their settlement's been complete. That was the major stumbling block in the bill last year. Also note for the record, Mr. Speaker, that the Resources Committee this year, my good friend and colleague from Chicken gave the bill a due pass. That's unprecedented, Mr. Speaker, and I would give that as a recommendation to the body, and would also like to invite our guests today who are in the gallery and my colleagues in the legislature to come down and to visit the park this summer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps some comments on the bill. In reading its history, Mr. Speaker, it appears that the legislation has indeed had a very rocky path through the legislative process. I know that, as read by the clerk this morning, the bill appears the Resource Committee on a 3-3 split. It appears at that time the bill probably should have died in committee. But somehow it survived and went to the Finance Committee, and it was passed out of Finance on a 5-4 split. I know, Mr. Speaker, that you in turn had referred the bill back to Resource, and again, by some magical wand, the bill passed at that time by a 7-0 due pass. And I do note that my good friend from Chicken did support the bill, and perhaps he would give us some rationale as to why he had changed his mind. Mr. Speaker, I noted that the gentleman from the Kenai did state that initially there was concern of at least the University of Alaska, the municipality of Anchorage, and the state of Alaska had some interest in here, and it appears that it was holding up any type of resolution of the additions to the park. The gentleman did mention the university had been satisfied, but I note that there were no comments as to the municipality of Anchorage satisfaction in whatever interest that they may have had. I would like to ask the gentleman to comment on that. I note initially that the Department of Natural Resources had no recommendation. So, Mr. Speaker, I guess what I'm asking here, there appears to have been a lot happen with this legislation along the way, and I think this body deserves perhaps a little bit more of a dialogue to give us all a little bit more comfort in putting away such a large block of land into a park.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'll address the committee report last year that did come out with three due pass recommendations, three no recommendations, and what that is, Mr. Speaker, the bill was moved from committee. There was no objections to moving the bill from committee with individual recommendations, and that was just the recommendation. So there was six votes actually at the committee in order to move the bill from committee last year. And this year, in fact, last year, both at the Finance Committee level and the Resource Committee level, there was a lot of concern over the university land settlement that was taking place at that time, and that was the recommendations were a result, I think, primarily of that concern. And this year, that has been settled. As far as the municipality of Anchorage's interest, they do have a great deal of interest, as my district and the Ketchikan Bay Area is inundated with people from Anchorage during the summer. They enjoy the recreational and scenic values of the Ketchikan Bay Area. And although I haven't polled them, I suspect that they'd be very much in support of this piece of legislation. As far as their interest in the university settlement, I believe that they have been satisfied. I don't know that for sure, except that I've been told that that settlement has been accomplished, and if that's the case, certainly they were a party to that settlement. Did I answer all your questions?
It's not necessary. Representative Furness?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure. I'm still interested if the whatever involvement the municipality of Anchorage had in this property, has that interest been at least settled? That's my prime question.
Representative Navarre.
They never had any, other than their interest in the settlement with the university over the problem with the Anchorage property. And that was the university. The municipality had some land that the university was due, and in order to make up for that, other areas around the state had to give their land to Anchorage or to back to the department in order to try to make up for that settlement. So as a result, Anchorage should be very satisfied with the eventual settlement.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did put a due pass on that bill, which is probably one of the first park bills that I've ever signed a due pass to. And one of the reasons that I did is because in listening to the rules chairman, I put a lot of credence in what he had to say about that particular park. And I take a lot of stock to that because it is important to the people of that particular district and into his constituency. So I paid a lot of attention to what he had to say about it. I've always said also that I would support a park bill if, in fact, I could find one good reason. And in addition to the reason that the rules chairman gave, it was pointed out very emphatically to me that park is not in my district, and so therefore I put a due pass on it. Thank you.
That's good. Representative Cotton.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, just to be sure that there isn't any question as to whether the municipality of Anchorage has an interest in this legislation, there's been no communication in opposition to this legislation, and I think as the rules chairman pointed out, there was an interest on the behalf of the municipality in the university settlement. That settlement has been accomplished, so this piece of legislation does not affect Anchorage.
Any further debate? Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just had a couple questions. The first is, I understand what the word wilderness park designation means under federal law, but in fact, what does it mean under state law regarding the amount of development that will be allowed in this area. I note that there are developments that are recommended and encouraged, a lodge and some docks and other things for these tourists that the speaker was talking about. And I wondered if he could just clarify for us what the word wilderness park designation means, and then a final question, and that is, what total number of acres are we talking of here?
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm looking for my total acreage number here.
Would the House entities, will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The total acreage that's going to be included in the park is 46,970 acres, give or take. That's an estimate, but it's fairly accurate. As far as the definition for the wilderness park, there is a definition in statute under Title 41, 21.990, and it's a pretty vague definition, actually. It's my understanding that it would allow some recreational type of facilities to be built, but they have to be kind of meet with the wilderness park type of experience, that so that it doesn't, you're not supposed to build any urban type facilities and things like that in a park.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, I really appreciate the explanation, and during the break the sponsor was able to provide me with an additional map showing where the areas is, and I just like to clarify for the body, there's a small area that's designated on the map for scenic park, and that's the area where these developments will really take place. There's a larger area on the map that is the Wilderness Park, and that's the thing contained in Section 3. I know many other members of the body are probably much more aware of that than I was, but I am concerned still, Mr. Speaker, about a tendency to move legislation through this body having to do with parks. And I appreciate very much, we've seen ANWR now, we've seen the minerals policy move and so on, but I'm still going to hold to what I said a while back, and that is, I'm going to continue to vote no on wilderness parks and other types of parks until I see some additional legislation moving. And I know many other members of this body want to see that moving too. I'm not being critical of them. I just like to add that as my assistance, that hopefully we'll all come together on those points and start moving those bills.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the second Committee substitute resources for House Bill 244 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
27 yeas, 3 nays.
The second Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 244 has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution 50 by Davis, Kopanen, Boyer, Frank, Miller, Sun, Pierce, and Davidson, requesting the Congress to remove the Highway Trust Fund and the Airport and Airway Trust Fund from the Unified Federal Budget. The Transportation Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. The report was signed by Cato Chairman, concurring Cato, Springer, Miller, and Pierce, having no recommendation, Hudson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House consider engross and advance to third reading House Joint Resolution 50 and place it on final pass.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objection to the motion to advance to third reading, would the clerk please read the title of that resolution?
House Joint Resolution 50 by Davis, Copen, and Boyer et al. Requesting the Congress to remove the Highway Trust Fund and the Airport and Airway Trust Fund from the Unified Federal Budget.
Third reading, under debate. Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 50 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
30 yeas, no nays.
House Joint Resolution 50 has passed the House. With the clerk, Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been a number of times this year when I felt like we needed to enlarge our gallery, and I just wanted the body, if I could go back to introduction of guests, I'd like to introduce some more people to the body.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I introduced earlier, a group of people that are part of the Elder Hostel program, there's another group that have come into the gallery, they've switched places, and I'd like the body also to welcome them. They're in Gallery A, and I believe in Gallery B also.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us back down to our daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on that calendar?
House Joint Resolution 52 by Davidson, Hudson, Hoffman, Grunberg, Menard, Gall, Larson, Ulmer, Sun, Davis, and Grusendorf, opposing reductions in the budget of the United States Coast Guard. The Transportation Committee has considered the resolution, recommends it do pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Cato Chairman, concurring Miller, Pierce, Springer, Hudson, and Cato. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the bill, House Joint Resolution 52, be engrossed and advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that resolution for the third time?
House Joint Resolution 52 by Davidson, Hudson, Hoffman et al., opposing reductions in the budget of the United States Coast Guard.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a straightforward, self-explanatory resolution. House Joint Resolution 52 opposes reductions in the Coast Guard budget. Each member has a copy of the Kodiak. of January the 18th of this year that pretty much explains why such a resolution is necessary. The topics under discussion on that front page newspaper talk about foreign factory ships dropping their nets in the Bering Sea, six men overboard off of a crabber, a boat haul and two body founds in another tragedy. And the federal solution is we should cut the fish patrols of the Coast Guard. Mr. Speaker, the Coast Guard means lives and livelihoods to Alaskans. Coastal Alaska relies heavily on the Coast Guard to save lives and protect livelihoods. House Joint Resolution 52 sends a message to budget decision makers in Washington that educates and illustrates the need for adequate Coast Guard budget for operations and its mission in Alaska. I would ask for your support for House Joint Resolution 52 and thank you for this opportunity.
Representative Hudson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to add my voice and support as well. It was the Coast Guard that brought me to Alaska 36 years ago, and I've seen the value and the the great benefit that is performed over the years, and I'm alarmed at what I appears to be now at the present time an awful lot of the support functions as well as the operating functions of the Coast Guard being moved down to California and perhaps being cut back altogether. And it's so imperative, I think, to the growth and economy of the bottom fish industry, search and rescue, and the state of Alaska's future that I really believe that I'd like to see a unanimous endorsement of this. Thank you.
Representative Sund.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I just want to kind of comment on a little anomaly that I see happening here, and I support this resolution thoroughly, but I find it kind of ironic that we're finding a resolution here having to fight to keep the Coast Guard budget up, and in my community we're fighting to keep the Coast Guard there. They're kind of trying to move out of town, and we got the Navy visiting every other day trying to move into town, and I assume that some of the money that the Navy's going to use to put their ports up here, that maybe we could use some of that money just to keep what we already have.
Representative Boucher, you've been seeking the floor.
Yes, briefly, I didn't have the opportunity. I didn't attend the meeting when this resolution passed out. I'd like to lend my support to it and join in the previous statements that were made. It makes little sense to have the Navy look to the north in national defense and for us to cut the budget in the one service in our armed service that is fighting probably one of the strongest wars that we have in this country, and that is drugs. I think that I hope this message this resolution sends a clear message to our delegation in Congress that it makes little sense to fight drugs on one hand and then take the tool away that the drug runners most fear, that's the United States Coast Guard. So I strongly support this resolution.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, I'd like to, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, draw the attention of the body to page 1, line 25, section 3, where it discusses elimination of 6 VHF FM coastal distress radio sites. I introduced a similar resolution, and I really applaud the sponsor and those people who have co-sponsored this matter, because in the intervening period of about the last 2.5 weeks, because of attention brought to that particular segment, the Coast Guard has now listened to the fishermen of Alaska, both Southeast Alaska, the two sites, Cape Decision and Yakutat, and also the crucial sites around Kodiak. And the commander here in Juneau flew up to Kodiak just last week, had a hearing with the fishermen there of over 3 hours, during which the fishermen explained to him in very clear terms how desperately they need those VHF repeaters. And it's my understanding that that very same day, two fishermen were lost overboard in Shelikof Straits, that the only way that boat could be located and the fishermen could be located was through those VHF repeater stations that were due to be shut down March 1st. They located those two men, they saved them and brought them into town, and I think it was the timing could not have been better, and this legislature acting in concert to draw the attention of the Coast Guard to that concern. It is my understanding that as of 2 days ago, the Coast Guard announced that that section on line 25 will not be necessary, as they have reversed their position on that one. So I applaud all this body for the efforts you've made in that regard. And we won that little battle. Now let's move on with this fine resolution and pass it. Thank you.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In regards to the remarks from the representative from Wrangell, I think it would be important to point out that there are very few areas of discretionary funding that can be moved around. And this is a good time to remind the body that this is what has happened to our good neighbor, the Coast Guard in Alaska. Last year, we saw different divisions moved down to Oakland, and headquarters for different functions for the Coast Guard moved out of our state. That impacts what discretionary funding that the
headquarters in Alaska can use to make those kinds of flexible decisions. And this is another thing to keep in mind about the Coast Guard.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 52 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
30 yeas, no nays.
House Joint Resolution 52 has passed the House. We have some citations on the calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would move the citations on the calendar honoring Ola Rusty Dow, Larry Johnson, Valdez High School Lady Buccaneers basketball team, the Valdez High School Boys Buccaneers basketball team, participants in the Midnight Sun Wheelchair Marathon, the former SAVE school principal Jerry Strauss, Alaska Litter Prevention Recycling, and In Memoriam Andrew Lekish. I ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, those citations have been adopted. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, travel agendas need to move for some excused absences here. Representative Hanley was excused for today, but also through Sunday, February 21st, plain time. Representative Ellis through Monday, February 22nd, plain time. Representative Taylor through this afternoon at 1:33, 10:30 through Monday, the 22nd, plain time. Representative Porchot from today, 5 p.m. until Sunday, February 22nd, plain time. Representative Porchot also on Thursday, March 3rd, 5 o'clock through Monday, March 7th, plain time. Representative Porchot also on March 18th, 5 o'clock through Tuesday, March 22nd. And myself for tomorrow and Sunday, and also for myself on Thursday, February 25th, plain time through Monday, February 29th. Move and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the individuals listed off by the majority leader are excused from the call of the House. Any further unfinished business? Standing committee or special committee announcements? General announcement, Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had distributed just a few moments ago by the pages on the floor the final report of the Alert Committee on Economic Recovery, and I'd like the members to have an opportunity to review it. We have put in a tremendous amount of time and effort, and I believe that the report, if you glance through it, will reflect a bipartisan effort in that there is, I believe, more legislation within this document probably that's been offered by your side of the aisle than by ours. And there are many pieces of legislation also pending, not only before this body, but also before the other body that have to do with crucial development of our natural resources. And it's our intent, both Representative Zawacki, who did an excellent job with, and I applaud both him and his staff for their hard work in compiling this document, and all the members of the committee for that matter. But it's our intent and hope that through focusing the attention of the body on some of this legislation that, as I said, is bipartisan, I hope we can avoid some of the rhetoric that may be necessary in this year, and address ourselves instead to the excellent ideas that have come up, whether they've come up from one side of the aisle or another. They deserve the attention of this body, and we sincerely hope to work with you and to work with the joint committee in its efforts as it continues on in its hearing process. There are three or four basic areas that we have broken out. As I said, they emphasize natural resource development. I think they also fall in line with the many speeches that we've heard on the floor of this House concerning the necessity for developing and assisting our natural resources and our natural resource departments. As such, we want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, for allowing us the time on the floor to present our committee announcements and also to have the opportunity to speak today on this matter. And we would also indicate to you that we have not, of course, completed our work either. There are areas we have not had an opportunity to address yet. And we will be providing supplemental reports on that as the legislative session moves along. But we did feel it was crucial that we do something other than just hold meetings and move on with the work of the body and give you, as best we could, what we think are excellent ideas and excellent pieces of legislation that need to be considered. And I thank you for your consideration of that, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Taylor. The information will be considered by the House. Any further announcements? Ms. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In honor of the conviviality of the sixth floor of the court building this afternoon from 4:30 to 6, my office is sponsoring an ice cream social. If any of us are left in town, we're going to be, and we'd like you to come and make the ice cream sundae or banana split of your dreams, and we'd like all the pages to come too.
That's a good announcement. Any further announcements? This brings us down to special orders. Is there any special orders to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader?
Seeing none, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent this body stand adjournment till 11 a.m. Monday.
11 a.m. Monday.